Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Thank you for coming back. If you'll grab your hymnal and stand, let's turn to hymn number 267. Hymn number 267. I know not why God's wondrous grace on the first.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Why this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able.
Let's sing it out on the last.
I know not when my Lord may come at night or noon or where, nor if I walk a veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able.
Aren't you thankful we've got a secure, not place, but person to place our hope and trust in, knowing that he is indeed able to keep us all the way. Well, it's good to be here this evening. Trust you had a good afternoon and a little bit of rest. And I know I did, and couldn't find a single leak in my eyelids, and it was wonderful. And, well, hey, we're going to take a couple of minutes to welcome each other in the Lord tonight. It was a great morning service, and just thankful to be back together this evening with my brothers and sisters.
If you'd head back to your seats, let's remain standing and turn to hymn number 453, one of my favorite songs. Have to keep myself from singing it too much so it doesn't get old. One of my favorite songs, let's sing it out on the first.
They call me old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. Jesus, who lived among men long ago, is divine and the Christ of God. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
You know, this is one of my favorite songs. I know today, you know, we've got all these new-fashioned ways, you could say, of getting saved, and new-fashioned ways of, you know, living for God and everything, but I'm glad we stick to the book, the old-fashioned book, the old-fashioned God, and the old-fashioned way of salvation. Let's sing it out on the third.
Old-fashioned me, 'cause I am bound to do right, to walk in the straight, narrow way. Because I have given my whole life to God, old-fashioned because I pray. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Really singing out on the last.
Old-fashioned me, 'cause I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord. Because I believe He is coming again, fulfilling His holy word. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. But the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. Let's stand one last time. We're getting your aerobics in for the week. And turn to hymn number 325. Hymn number 324. I get it right. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, joy of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of hell. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of hell.
As we sing the last, really praise the Lord for that precious name on the last.
At the name of Jesus bow me, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of hell. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all come forward, we'll get ready to take this evening's offering. Just a few announcements to look at. Got missions conference this week. Everybody be in your places and be in prayer, okay? Expect God to visit with us and hear some good reports from our missionaries and hopefully be challenged and good Lord willing, maybe that he'll reach out and pluck one of us out to put us somewhere else. And I think that would be wonderful that he calls somebody here to go somewhere specific like that. So got the Beck Barton Wedding Shower this Saturday. Date night. It says the 1st. They think they changed it to the 8th. So also that means that 7th and 8th grade activity will be done on the 8th. We done that purposefully. The men's fellowship's going to be on the 2nd. And we still need volunteers for project nativity and nursery workers. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful day you've given us today, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking that you be at this offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Be at the preacher who's going to be preaching for us tonight, hiding behind the cross. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, this evening, I've asked Brother Penny to come and just update us all, and many of our new families, I'm sure, have not really met the Fafawinas, and so I want, of course, all of our newer members of the church family to be familiar with them. And please, I urge you, both ways, the Fafawinas and all new members of the church, since even in the last year, to spend some time with them, get to know them. They're still going to be around for, I think, till about February, in and out. Is that right, Brother Brown? March. And so they'll be here. They'll be out in churches. Robin was sharing with us yesterday. She'd like to spend some time at her church. But that's the life of a missionary. When they're on furlough, they got to do the report to churches that support them and let them see their face and of course, relate what's going on in their ministry. So Penny's going to come this evening, but I did want to just encourage you concerning conference this week. I think Marcia could still use a little bit of help with some food for some of the meals. So ladies, if just ask her. Don't ask me what she needs. Ask her, because I don't really know. And they're going to have some lunches for after the morning sessions. And then, of course, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be feeding our missionaries. And our home missionaries as well will be part of those meals, our missionaries, I should say. Also, I do want the church to know that those morning sessions on Thursday and Friday, those are open for the church. We want you all to take advantage of those. In fact, those sessions this year especially are very important to us as a church. Brother Bruce is going to be dealing with some things concerning how we on this end of this missionary church team handle things. If something would happen on the mission field, how would we take care of that on this end? And for lack of a better name, we call it crisis management. And then on Friday, David is going to be teaching on how do you approach a country, a people group, and how you survey that and so try to sort out what the needs are and so forth in conjunction with that. And then also on Friday, Sim is going to speak and teach us on the area of how to better reach Muslims. And I'm really, really looking forward to that and trusting that we're going to learn a great deal in all of those sessions. And if I could... If I cried, if I got on my knees and begged, I don't know if it would help or not, but I've been pastoring over 20 years, 25 years. It seems it's always tough to get folks to help in the nursery. I thought, well, maybe one Sunday I just wouldn't preach. I'd work in the nursery. Maybe it might communicate the need a little bit. But Renee really could use some help with the nursery folks. And I don't know, it's one of those... one of those jobs that just doesn't get a lot of credit. We do have the services streamed into the nurseries now, so at least you can keep track of what's going on and what's taking place in the services. Well, at this point, I just want to turn it over to Brother Penny. I know he has some things. I really want him to catch you up on what's taking place. Of course, when Brother Savali was here, we heard a lot about some of those things, but I want you to hear it from our missionary, Brother Penny Fafawina. Brother, you come. He's also going to be preaching for us tonight. Amen. Well, last time I heard him preach, I didn't know a thing he was talking about. He was preaching in Samoan, and I was just a spectator.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Love you, brother.
Well, good evening, Metropolitan. I know we were in a mission conference. We came this year. We are planning to come because of my green card. I cannot leave the country, for a whole year. We tried to get visa to get it out for 2 years, but until now we haven't done anything about that because of we're on the road a lot of times. But when we came last year, we tried to change a little bit of our slides. So these slides tonight is from the time that we arrived in Samoa in 2009, when we went back from our furlough. And as you know, that we are the Fafawina family. It's on the. I don't know if I do this right. Can you change the... Okay, Samoa, if you don't know where Samoa is, this is it's in the Pacific. It's in the middle of the Pacific. It's halfway between Hawaii and New Zealand. It's a tiny island. If you put all the islands together, it will it's like the size of Rhode Island. So all those islands, the nine islands of our western side, is about the size of Rhode Island. We only two missionaries living, working in Samoa. Is Jim Sivale is on the other island, and also we are staying in the other island where the town is. No, that's the statistic of the country religion. Religion Protestant 59.9%, Congregation 34, which is the most the dominant religion in the country. Methodist 15%, Assembly of God 6.6%, Seventh-day Adventist is 3.5%, Roman Catholic 19.6%, Mormons 12.7%, Worship Center it's a BTL or Praise the Lord, it's 1.3%. Other Christian is 4.5%, including us, it's on that number. Others is 1.9%, and specify is 0.1%. You know, we've been living in the country, Samoa is a country that people are really religious. You know, they are, as you see, our church building is the one in the middle of those pictures. It's surrounded by all those churches. On this side is the one of the seven temples of the Baha'i, or Baha'u'llah. It's like a Muslim. It's the other one is the Catholic church. The church on that side is about $8 million Methodist building. And if you see that, a lot of buildings, it's very hard for people in Samoa to attending, no matter what you try to do, people are very, the missionary came to Samoa in 1830. And it's a religious country. When you try to witness to them, they thought that they're better than you. No matter what you try, they think that they're better than you because they consider Baptists as a cult. And no matter what you try to say to them about the Bible, they think they're loyal to their churches and they want to, correct you. Anything that you try to say, they try to correct you. In 2009, when we went back, there was a tsunami, there was an earthquake in the country. And we went outside early in the morning and outside, our van is like this. And the lamppost by our house is like that. So we went out and stood outside, and I told my wife that there will be something coming on later. And it's about 30 minutes later, one of our preacher boys called from the village that he lived, and he said that there's a tsunami here. He was running up to the mountains with his cell phone. And he called me there and let me know that their family is affected. And our little church decided to donate money. Because of the government corruption, we didn't want to give them money. We voted out to give 3,000 tala to help those people. And we decided to go and buy the sacrifice and everything, and we deliver it to the village, and this is where the people that we deliver the food of. And the result of that, a lot of people, because of the scare of a natural disaster, a lot of people came to know the Lord. And even in our church, a lot of people, it's recorded that a lot of people attending churches at that time because they're scared of death. And the result that a lot of people came to know the Lord at that time, in 2009, and you see those people there, the baptism that we are, people are saved and baptized. As you see, the Still Growing, the youth group that supports of our house that we use to have our church, because we cannot fit in our house, so we have to move outside the porch and start our fellowship there. We're still using the fish pond to baptize people outside of our house. Now you didn't see the fish pond because we put dirt in it when we got Cameron swimming pool. And that's a continuation of the ministry in the 2009-2010. And because of we are kind of looking at our ministry is getting a standstill because, people come to our house and look around our house. And some people didn't go visit. They don't come back because of their mindset. You know, I know that the church is a call out assembly, people. But people on Samoa, if there's no church, if there's no building, it's not a church. And that's one of the hindrances, you know, in the work. And we start praying with our little congregation and ask the Lord to provide the land. We came by this building here and was foreclosure. The family was building that building for a store, but they ran out of money. So the bank took the thing they paid and they dropped the $20,000 for us to buy that land. And it's a good deal for us. And we know the Lord's provide. And we bought that building. And in 2012, we dedicate that building. And our pastor, Jim Turner, and Marshall came over to the dedication of our building. And since then, the church took another growth spree. And we got people baptized. That's not our baptismal pool. We are renting some other church baptismal pool to do our baptism. And people bring their babies to dedicate. And we have prayer meetings and overnight. And a lot of people come to know the Lord. You know, during our absence, these men, two of the men, they're up on the top pictures, and their wives, those two men surrendered to the ministry. So they surrendered to preach, and Malaki's on this side. It's one of our men that we watch out for him because he's kind of taking on the ministry. The couple at the bottom picture, they're a new couple that came to our church. They were willing to serve. They were willing to follow whatever the Lord wants them to. They were saved just before the Easter. And they are really faithful to church. Now they're working with them teaching Sunday schools and preaching in our church. Took over and we got some pictures from... that's Malaki in the middle pictures, baptizing one of the converts while we're here, on our way here. And that girl saved when we were in New Zealand. Malaki baptized her. And the other two ladies saved when we were down in Houston. I checked with their Facebook message and find out they're just kind of take on the work there. And so they're growing. They are preaching the word of God. Those three preachers, they continue doing what God wants them to do, and it's growing. Those pictures, the two pictures at the bottom, I just downloaded this week. It's their service on Sunday. And they're still doing what God wants them to do. I think that they do a better job than me. One of the projects that we're doing, we do for 2 years. We're working on the Samoan Bible. The old translation is the good translation, Samoan. But hardly any Samoan understand that translation. A lot of words a lot of Samoan people, now they don't understand that translation. So they are not printing that translation. And the new translation is based on the corrupt text. That's what they're printing now. And it's very expensive. So what we're doing, we get together the old translation and we type the whole translation. And some of our members help with that project. There's about 100 people around the world help with that. There's some people from Australia helping with that, people from Thailand, and Mara was helping with that, and other people from the East Coast, they were helping with the Samoan Bible. As you know, the Samoan Bible was done in this mission apartment here. We put in printing. It's in a printing shop now, and beams and other... printing shop printing the Samoan Bible free for us. Amen. And we get a email that they were going to print the John and Romans, 60,000 John and Romans for free from South Dakota for our island. And we're looking forward to distribute that and use that as an outreach. And this is our prayer request. Some of the things that You need to pray for us, pray for the growth of Lighthouse Baptist Church, pray for the church transportation. You know, our van is a 6-passenger van, but sometimes I put 15 to 20 people in there to carry them to the church. So it's a little van, but we need a little bigger. Now we are Malaki. Borrow his dad's van, his dad's working van, to transport people. But if they use the van during the weekend, then they have to find another transportation to transport people. So pray for that. Pray for the Simon Bible in print shop. Pray for the Simon the Bible Institute. We are planning to start Bible Institute when we go back. We got a material to use for our Bible Institute, and we are planning when we arrive, we start that Bible Institute. Pray for Malaki and Luau and La'au as they work with the church now. Pray for the radio station, as you know. You know, when I went to view the radio station, because we went down to test the radio station at James Church, and I find out we need a lot of power, and it doesn't mean we need a lot of a lot of money to go in those things to be able to boost up the thing. So pray for the radio station. We are thinking of getting a repeater in our island. Or if not, then we're probably looking at the radio station. You know, just pray for that our Lord will provide. Pray for for us as we witness to people. We're looking forward that we got some material to use when we go back to Samoa in our next term. And pray for us for transportation. And also pray for us as we travel on the road. You know why? You know that after this next Sunday, our mission conference, we have to travel to Washington State. So it's a lot of travel and driving. And please pray for that, that we have a safe travel. So that's all we have. Is there any question about the... Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a Baptist tree that I told him I need to do that, you know, when we were here last year. So they finished it up. His brother tiled the Baptist tree for us. So it's a blessing. Any other question? I guess there's no question. And I was... I want you to read to the book of Matthew 25 is, I don't know if it's a preaching or just tonight, but I just pray that it will be a blessing to us tonight. If you have your Bible, would you mind stand with me? You know? Let's read the verse 1 to verse 13. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to verse 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to virgins which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Notice that verse. They took their lamp. They were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarries, they were all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a crying made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came,
And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for he know neither day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, we do ask your blessing upon your word, and I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand this portion of scriptures. We know it's a parable.
It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
But we ask you, Lord, to help us to understand this, that we be able to live according to your way. Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that all of us understand this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. And, you know, I really enjoy looking at the Jewish tradition of wedding. And I do that several times when I look at something in the Word of God. I know the Word of God was written from the perspective of, you know, of the Old Testament and the Jewish culture. And I know some of these things, a lot of these things, is talking about the Jewish culture that they wrote the Bible. And, you know, I'm thinking of John chapter 14 and verse 1 to verse 3 when Jesus said, he's talking about the engagement in the Jewish culture. You know, when a man, even a Jewish man, come and look at the girl that, or the girl choose his bride, they will make a covenant. You know, there's three things when you look at the Jewish culture: it's a covenant, and consummation, and also it's a celebration. There's three C's in the Jewish culture. But you know, when I look at this, it reveals to me and it helps me to understand. What is Jesus talking about in John chapter 14 and verse 1 to verse 3? When a man come and the Jewish man come and look at the girl that he likes, you know, when they have a contract, that man will not come back to her house. No, it's different these days, because once they agree, the father agreed to get married, you know, that boy will live in that house for the rest of his life until they get married. But, you know, in a Jewish culture, it's not. Once the dad gives you the permission, you're going to marry my daughter one day, no, you have to go to your father's house and build a house for you and your wife. And Jewish culture, they have arranged marriage. You know, they can arrange marriage when a boy was 7 years old and a girl was 7 years old. And you know, when a boy goes to his family and prepare that place, he will not come. It takes about 2 weeks. It can take 6 months, it can take 10 years, it can take 20 years to go to his father's house to build a house. And no one knows when that boy comes to take his bride. There's only one that knows that the day and the hour that he's come to take his bride is his father. When he finished that place, he will tell his father, I'm going to take my bride. And that's what is in John chapter 14 is talking about. You know, when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. He's talking about the church. You know, he's leaving the church here. And he's going to prepare a place for us. Right. And he's coming again. The 10 virgins is talking about that celebration. It's a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are like me, sometimes I want to, as I said, I don't want to, you know, do this as a message like several points, but sometimes I want to pick up some words in the Word of God and study that and try to put it together again and see how it looks. You know, when I moved to New Zealand, I take a mechanic course on an international mechanic course, and I went to the car dealer. There was a car, it's $99. I bought the car because I want to tear it apart and put it again, you know. And I pulled the car, it was all smoke coming out. And I drove it home and pulled it apart and put it together. It didn't work. So, but, you know, that's not how I want to do things. I want to, when I And then I hear something is rattling in the my engine. I have to pull it apart and then clean it up, set it up, and start it again. Because I like the noise when it's, you know, we finish fixing something. And I like to do that in the Word of God again tonight. You know, there are several words here I want us to study. You know, the first word here is the word virgins. 10 virgins. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven is likened to a virgin which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All those words is mentioned in the first verse. The word virgins, you know, mind too that this is a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. These 10 virgins is a picture of the church. You know, but the Bible teaches that the virgin is a young girl. She has no relationship with a man. She kept her clean and pure. In a Jewish culture, wedding is a sacred ceremony. It reflects the attributes of God we serve. From the time of engagement to the time they are come together to unify as a couple, every step has to be pure and clean as God wants to be. Virgin is a picture of the church. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Virgin is a picture of the church. You know, when the man goes to his father's house, the girl has to prepare herself to meet the man that they already signed a contract. As the man goes to prepare that place, the girl, young girl, the virgins, is starting preparing things and ready for the coming of her bride. The same as Jesus, we're waiting as a church, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second word I want you to select. They said they turn virgins, they take lamp, 10 lamps. It says in verse 2 that 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They take the lamp and take no oil with them. How crazy is that, taking a lamp to go to wait for the master and not taking an oil? A lamb will not work by itself. It has to have the oil. And they say they took their lamb and not oil. The lamb is a picture of the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is a light. But I heard this illustration. They said they, in the Old Testament time, they tied a lamb. The lamb is only a one step. A lamb, they tied it to their knees. And as they walk, as they take a step, that light will give enough light to take one step at a time. That's how they walk in the darkness those days. Israel, you know, the Bible is the Lamb of God that show us step by step how to go forward for the Lord. You know, sometimes we want to see things ahead of us. Once we want to do something, we want to look at ahead of us instead of looking to God for direction. So the lamp is a picture of the Word of God. Word of God enlighten us. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, David said, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness." He said, "Thou art my lamp." How can David be a light? Because when the Word of God works in us, it enlightens us. It gives us light to be able to approach a lot of difficulties in our lives. David said, "Thou art the lamp. You make me shine." Not because I am smart or sharp, but you make me shine. To apply the word of God and walk according to his will make him light it up. Job chapter 12, verse 5, he said, he that is ready to sleep with his feet is as a lamb despised the thought of him that's at ease. You're not doing the word of God. You're not walking according to what God wants you to do. You get ready to sleep. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. He said, For the commandment is a lamp, the Lord is light, and reproof and instructions are the way of life. You know, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking about the lamp. Verse 14 to verse 16, he said, he are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put under the bushel, but on the candlestick that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. How does people know our lives, that God is in us? It's because the word of God lives in us, and the outcomes of that word of God, will people see God that we worship. The reason why people see God in us, because the word of God lives in us and showing by our action. The third word is the word oil. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil was used in the Bible for anointing people. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 7 said, Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10 said, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all was therein and sanctified them. Anointing oil, when you're anointing somebody with oil, you set apart that person for special purpose. You know, when they anointed David in front of his brothers, they said that when Samuel anointed David, the Holy Spirit stayed with David until the day he died. They anointed him. You know, we have Holy Spirit of God. We accepted Christ as our personal Savior. It's anointed us with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I can see everywhere there are a lot of people say that I'm saved. I know Christ as my personal Savior. I grew up in the church, but I don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't have the Holy Spirit at BTL, preach, that come and go. We have the Holy Spirit that comes and stay. The Holy Spirit of God. If the virgin is a picture of the church, if the lamp is a picture of the word of God, and oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. There's a catch. When Jesus comes back, only people that they go with Jesus in that wedding supper is those that have the Holy Spirit, have the oil. Now, people can say, yeah, we have a word of God. We have a King James Bible. Even the Mormons have a King James Bible. They preach a King James Bible. They give out King James Bible freely. They have a King James Bible. You can carry a King James Bible everywhere. You can preach the word of God. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, we miss out. We miss out. How? Because the Holy Spirit of God explained the word of God and be able to make us understand what God wants us to do. You know what? John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, had a preaching for some time, and someone said unto him, are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation? Well, he answered, Jesus died for the whole world. Yes, We all believe that. But are you sure that you are saved? Wesley replied that he was sure that the provision has been made for our salvation. But are you sure, Wesley, that you are saved? He said it went like an arrow into his heart and had no rest or power until the question was settled in his heart. Now, you can do everything in our power. We can go anywhere and witness to people in our power. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, no way. You know, I heard a lot of stories. Missionary wife working in South America for how many years? Saved a lot of souls. Came back to the United States. Confessed that she did not have the Spirit of God. She wasn't saved. We can do, you know, if God used a donkey to deliver the message, God used can unsaved people to do his work. No matter, I have no doubt that God will do without us, but God chooses us to do his work. You know, I wonder, in that day, when Jesus come to the end of his sermon on the mount, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, I want you to look at that. That saith, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say unto me that day. What day? That day when he comes. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we cast out devils, and in thy name do wonderful works? Jesus said, and then I will profess unto them, I don't know you. Out. Don't know you. Why? There's something missing. We can do everything in our power. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, it's worthless. You know, I watch people, my sister's husband's working in Air New Zealand Airlines. And most of the time they come to Samoa, they come on those vouchers. So their seats are not confirmed. They had to go on a waiting list. So mostly the time they picked people that already have booked. They confirmed their booking. And the rest of the seat, if there's any empty seat, then they will give it to them. I watched her one night. She sat down, she came and sat down with us. Do you still have those? Is that man's already checked out? Is there any seat? Sat down. The whole time she was busy because she wanted to get in that plane. And all the people that they have confirmed seat, they were sitting down, playing with their computers. Read their newspapers. Why? Because they know. Once that plane's engine start, they were in there. Confirm. You know, I wonder, when Jesus comes, all the works that we've done, do we have the Holy Spirit of God? I think it's a good thing, starting for our mission conference, we have that Spirit to push us towards that. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Are you really sure? When Jesus comes, you will go with him. Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Penny. Of course, Brother Penny is, appreciate him. I was joking earlier that when I heard him preach in Samoa, he's preaching in Samoan. And when I preached in English, the folks in the church, the first time I preached, I don't think we translated. And the second time I preached, they translated. And, of course, why you say that? Because you got to get the message. You've got to be able to get the message. And as Brother Penny shared this evening, we realize that if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're saved. And thank you, Lord, for the day we got the message. And God turned the lights on for each of us. And of course, this evening, if, as always, the invitation is always open for anyone that might be here that does not have that peace. He related the story of his sister, and I know his sister, and I know how she would be back and forth to that booth to make sure she was getting a seat. That's just part of her personality, wanting to make sure. Aren't you thankful? Your seat's confirmed. Your place is confirmed in glory. And when Jesus says, come up hither, there's not going to be wondering whether we have a seat or not. Huh? We'll have that place that he's prepared for us, that he's prepared for his bride. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Well, as we do prepare for our missions conference this week, might our hearts be seeking the face of the Lord. Might we be praying. And again, I've had a privilege. Marcia's been with me most of the time, but I've had a privilege in the short time I've been here, just between 2.5 and 3 years now at Metropolitan, and I have had the opportunity to be with Robin and Penny in Samoa when they dedicated the building there. And then this spring, I had the privilege, the honor to be at in Chiang Mai with the G'days, and of course just traveled with David and Brother Bruce to Argentina. You know, it's an honor as the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church to be able to go to those places with our missionaries. And it's important that I do that. I'm a homebody. I really am. I like being at home. I like being right here with you. But, you know, these folks are members of our church, too. And the folks there in Western Samoa on the outskirts of Apia, that's part of our church. They're a mission of this church. And so they need to see the pastor of their home church, really, don't you think? Same there as David prepares to go to Argentina. I want to know, I want to understand when he calls and tells me what's going on here or there. I want to at least have a clue of what he's talking about so that I can relate to you those things. And so I want to just say you thank you once again for allowing your pastor to make those trips. And again, as we enter into missions conference, I'm praying that as your pastor that I can communicate to some measure how important it is. This morning, I know I can get to be just a blubbering fool at times, but I love the gospel. And I so long to see folks saved. It's the difference we understand within these walls. Hopefully we understand this evening. It's not just a preference, a difference of preference. We're talking about the difference of people's destinies, their eternal destinies, whether they'll spend that eternity in the damnation of their own sin or whether they'll share that confirmation that Brother Penny shared with us this evening, have that confirmation with us. Oh, Lord, these days that phrase keeps reminding me over and over in my own heart. Might we just take as many with us if we possibly can. Please be in prayer for our missionaries that will be with us this week. Our own missionaries will be sharing some things and the Burbages and Brother Dennis. David Dennis, Fargo Baptist Church, is going to send him to the other side of the state, North Dakota, to what is commonly called now the oil patch. Brother Paul Hasty knows somewhat about that. That was getting percolating over there when you were still there, I believe. But there's families moving in there literally by the droves. And the spiritual need is very great. And so Brother Dennis will be talking to us about that as well. Let's stand together. Get us a song to close with, Brother Colton. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for the gospel. So thankful, Father, that you were pleased to send your son, that he would be that God sent, one with a mission to see the world delivered from its sin. And Father, I'm thankful that even these 2,000 years later, we still have the privilege of declaring the good news of the gospel that is still changing lives, that is still altering folks' destiny. And Father, I pray that you'd, as we said this morning, refire our souls for the work of the ministry. Might missions be the very lifeblood and burden of this church. Lord, yes, right here to our Jerusalem in Lake Worth and Fort Worth, but also, Father, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We love you. We thank you tonight for your mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 155.
We sing, folks, might the word of God soak into our hearts.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Again.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Amen. You can be seated for just a second, maybe a few seconds. Had something I needed to bring to the church family just for a moment this evening before we say amen and go on our way. We have a family in the church that has a pressing need and don't want, as always, of course, we don't want to embarrass them in any way or point them out. But they have a real pressing need right now. And the talking with the deacons and the trustees, we had wanted to ask the church if you would be pleased to help them catch up with some issues and some expenses that they have. And right now, the need to get them to where they could get their head above water would be $1,500. And, of course, that's an amount that we need to bring to the church family, bring to you. And so what I would do right now would be ask the church for a motion to that we would help this family for the amount of $1,500. And Curtis Graham makes that motion, Veronica. And could I have a second? Somebody, David Martin makes a second. Would there be anyone that would have a question about that, Brother Bruce? Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. It would be from the general fund. Thank you. It would be from the general fund. Any other questions about that? And of course, we help folks couple times a week. Somebody comes by the door and needs some gas or some food, and we do that to some extent. We draw the line on a lot of things, but we try to be very careful. But when one of our own families is struggling, we need to step up and help and do what we can in those cases. So if there's no other questions, I'd ask by a show of hands all in favor of helping this family. Okay, and thank you so very much. Opposed, the same sign, and so ordered. And we'll take care of that for them this week. And thank you so much for being generous to your brothers and sisters. And please, again, be in prayer this week for our missions conference, for those that will be coming in. And again, just really encourage you. Be in the meetings both as much as possible. I know there's work involved and all that. But if you're able to be in the morning sessions on Thursday and Friday, we'll begin around 9 and through the morning, and then have some lunch together. So if you're able, we sure love to have you come and be part of that as well. All right. Well, let's stand together. Do you have a chorus for us, my brother? Penny, I want to apologize for a little bit of technical difficulties this evening. I don't know if you just chunked right along like you didn't even notice it, but sometimes them things happen. Appreciate it, brother.
Amen. Let's dismiss with the chorus of the month that's in your bulletin is Send the Light. Sing it out. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. You're dismissed. Have a good week.